Mike Grimm back on the program. Mike, welcome to the show. Hopefully it works out this time. So, as I was saying, college football comes to an end. Ohio State wins it. Any lasting thoughts on the college football season here, Mike?
I thought the 12-team playoff was great. Nobody likes to complain about college football, it appears, more than college football fans. And so a lot of people apparently didn't like some of the early blowouts. But I would invite them all to look at the NFL first round. And mm-hmm. I think all but, two games were double digits. So it is what it is. I thought the 12-team playoff was fantastic. It captured my imagination. I watched just about every game. Championship game was good. And, you know, for us here in the North, I think it's a good deal that the SEC for the second straight year not only didn't win it, they weren't even in the championship game. So I was generally pleased with it.
The one argument outside of the blowouts that a lot of people have is, we ruined the regular season. Ohio State wouldn't have been there because they lost to Michigan and they shouldn't have been there. But if the argument the whole time is the best team should win, then don't you think that that's why we have the 12-team playoff? Like, that's the way that I look at it. So what would you say to those who have that argument of you ruined the regular season?
I totally disagree. The regular season couldn't have been better. You got more teams involved. Mm-hmm. Like, it came down. How many teams were involved? If it's four teams, nothing really matters late. The championship games don't mean much. You just know which four. But with 12, you had about 18 teams that were fighting for it. And at one point, in early November, there were 18 or 19 teams that, had they won out and had some things fall their way. So I actually thought it made the regular season better, more entertaining. It involved more teams. It didn't render it meaningless at all. It made it more meaningful. If there was a 14 playoff, the Ohio State regular season wouldn't have meant anything.
Right.
But as it turned out, we made it important because we expanded. So I totally disagree. I couldn't. I think it actually it had the opposite impact. There were a lot more teams with a lot more at stake, which made it more meaningful because there was more to play for teams that wouldn't be playing for much otherwise.
Continuing on here, and I think we will have some changes to this college football playoff format, whether that's seeding, the automatic buys. There's a lot of things that might go into it that might change. But I do want to continue on into college basketball now. I've been getting more and more into it, not just watching or paying attention to the Gophers. And a week ago, Mike, we were talking about the state of the Gophers, and I even asked you a question about how long the leash Ben Johnson has. And he rips off two really great wins. Beats Michigan at the buzzer. Great call, by the way. And then the big win over Iowa earlier this week. What do those two wins mean for this program this season?
Well, it's good. First of all, we don't know, because if you don't continue the winning streak, because you're still at 2-6, right? The good news is you're only 40% of the season from a Big Ten standpoint. So you've got over half the year left. So if they can continue to play like this and put some wins together, certainly you want to, at a minimum, qualify for the Big Ten tournament because for folks who don't follow it closely, the last three teams in the Big Ten will not make it. Currently, the Gophers would not be in, even with these last two wins, would not be in the Big Ten tournament. Only 15 of the 18 make it. So at a minimum, you want to get in that. So you got to keep winning. You got to keep playing. In terms of what it means, it keeps them alive. And the leash you talked about, I guess, probably got a tick longer. They're still would be certainly advised to keep winning games. But the way they have played, I'm going to say, you look and we can play the what-if game all day. Certainly they could have lost to Iowa. Certainly they could have lost to Michigan. That was an overtime game. And they made winning plays to win. On the flip side, they could have beaten Ohio State. That was a double overtime game, and they had multiple chances to put the Buckeyes away. And if they had just won that game alone, they're now in a bunch of gaggle of teams with three wins, including Iowa, and including some others. Who knows then where that takes you. So in this 18-team stack of teams where there's no divisions and it's just this one big stack, the margin of error is pretty thin from a good season to not. I mean, this is the crazy thing. Nebraska last night lost at home to USC. They had won like 20 straight home games, right? Mm. And then now they've lost two straight home games. They lost to Rutgers and they lost. Mm-hmm. Those two losses have basically taken Nebraska from being pretty solidly feeling good about making the NCAA tournament to right now they would not be in the Big Ten tournament, just two games, right? Mm-hmm. So in this stack of teams, in this stack of things, every 2 weeks, there could just be monumental shifts. USC was not believed to be a very good team early in the Big Ten season. They have now, I believe, won three straight, including winning at home against Iowa. They just got the road win at Nebraska last night. So anyway, it's a topsy-turvy deal. And so, yeah, the Gophers just got to keep their nose to the grindstone. And if they play like this, they should be competitive. And if they're that way, they should be able to stack up some wins and hopefully get yourself to Indianapolis in the Big Ten tournament. That would be a minimum requirement, I think, to, you know, you talk about the leash I'm not saying that would be enough, but if you don't make the Big Ten tournament, I think that's a hard sell to folks to say, oh yeah, let's just keep on this track, right?
And they got a really tough schedule here. I mean, it is the Big Ten, but they got Oregon Saturday. They're at Sparty next week. Washington, right. You'd like to believe they can win that game. At Penn State, no gimme. Then it's Illinois. Then you take your West Coast. I mean, this is a grind. It's a brutal schedule here in the Big Ten. So it's hard to have these expectations that we know we want to have as we're talking to Voice of the Gophers here, Mike Grimm. But what do you think from what you've seen from other teams and from the talent that other teams has, what is the difference between this Gophers team and why they're sort of lagging behind in the Big Ten? And why is a Wisconsin still being able to get into the top 10? Why is Michigan State, well, obviously Michigan State has Izzo, but more talent-wise on the team, you know, Maryland's making a comeback. UCLA out of nowhere with Mick Cronin. Penn State even is competing. Why are the Gophers not in that second tier of teams in that middling part of the Big Ten?
Yeah, well, and I guess you'd have to figure out what tiers you'd have, because if you look down, like Minnesota's right in the stack with, I think, Northwestern, although Northwestern just beat Indiana, which was a nice win, and Penn State and some others just kind of in that lower rung. Like I said, they're just a game back from Iowa as well. Clearly the biggest issue of the whole thing was at the end of last year when they could not come up with enough name, image, and likeness money to keep the team intact. And then they lose Cam Christie, who nobody, when he signed here, figured he'd be a one and done. I mean, you know, let's think just for a second about what this team would be like if they had Pharrell Payne at center, if they had Elijah Hawkins, who set the single season assist record at point guard, and if Cam Christie had come back to school. Those three guys alone would account for, I mean, that's three starters, right? So three guys that are currently starting would become bench players. And so how much better would this team be? It would be a lot better. There was discussion by not just Gopher fans, but just general basketball supporters. And Andy Katz did a piece on it. If you go back and look at the end of last year, he had Minnesota in his preseason top 25 coming off of the end of last year before all of this happened. So clearly what happened to Minnesota was they did not, and who do you blame? Fans for not stepping up? Coaches for not going out and trying to raise money, administration for being slow to the get-go to try to get all those things come into play, and I'm not sure who you blame. Everybody probably has a piece of it, and it has been slow here. Football has turned it around. They have really got a nice little nest egg, and they have been able to do something in the transfer portal here that I think is fairly exciting. They've kept people. They've brought people in. They only lost two starters off of the team, and, they'll have to find, replacements, but they've hit the portal well, and they had independently gone out and raised some money in terms of football-only money. So basketball, we'll need to get on track with that, but that's 100% the situation. They were positioned at the end of last year pretty good. The trapdoor falls out, and they just have not been able to replace what they lost with equal talent. Now that said, as you said, the last week, these two games have proven that I think there's some evidence there now that these guys, one, have started to understand what the Big Ten's about. I was even impressed with the way they played at Maryland, which was a loss, but that's a hard place to play. You commented on the kind of talent they have. Frankly, Maryland's maybe underachieving with the talent they have right now, and they're in the heart of some of the richest basketball talent in the country when you talk about Baltimore and D.C. So that's it. And so the question becomes whether – this coaching staff can mire its way into getting above, you know, their head above water and maintain this, and then figure out ways to raise money and keep players. And then you also have to recruit the right guys who may want to stick around for a little less. And it's hard to blame a kid when he can go make $700,000 as a 21-year-old. I mean, if that was my son, I'd probably advise him go take the money as well. I mean,
right.
It's a heck of a head start as a you know, as a 20-year-old.
Right.
So particularly when you don't, you know, you look at Elijah Hawkins and Ferrell Payne, they're not NBA players. They're not going to make. They're not going to play NBA basketball. They have great, you know, an opportunity to maybe play overseas,
mm-hmm.
but neither of those guys is an NBA prospect at all. And so you're going to make $500,000 to $1 million somewhere. I mean, and if the Gophers can't provide that, you've got to make a decision that's best for you, and it's hard to blame them.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that it feels like the athletic department is willing to sacrifice the NIL in basketball for the NIL in football, and we'll see when these schools get to $20 million if that changes. But I don't necessarily need you to comment on that right now because we're running out of time, and we can save that for next week. But I do want to know what you think the Gophers need to do on Saturday to keep this winning streak going and how they beat a good Oregon team coming to town.
Yeah, probably their toughest test to date, right? Oregon's mm-hmm. probably the best roster they've faced. Michigan, while they came in ranked 19th in the country and in one poll and 20th in the other, and they've got these 2 7-footers, and they were 5-0. They had not played any of the top four teams yet in the Big Ten, talking about Illinois and Michigan State and Oregon, and I don't remember what the Purdue, I guess, what was the other one in the four that they had not played. That doesn't say that they're not good. They are. That's probably the best team the Gophers have played up to this point. Oregon is better than Michigan, and so they're going to have to put an effort like they did against both those teams.
Mm-hmm.
They need, and the other thing is this team shot terribly early, right? They couldn't hit anything. They have shot the ball very well now for 6 straight games. They have, I think it's 3 or 4 of the 6 games, they have been over 40% from 3. And that gives you a chance. It really does, especially like what Iowa did when they go 3 for 21 themselves. I mean, that mm-hmm. was the difference in that game, was Minnesota made some threes and timely threes, and Iowa did not. And so that's going to have to happen Saturday if Minnesota wants to have any chance to pull off what would be a pretty good upset. Oregon's talented. They've got a 7-footer that can play inside and outside. They've got a war chest of Nike money that can assemble a very talented roster. So, you know, they've got some future NBA guys on that roster. And so Minnesota's going to have to be, as good defensively. I was really impressed with how they played defense down in Iowa City. They're going to have to be equally up to the task. And you're seeing guys like Frank Mitchell step up mm-hmm. with his best 2 games in back-to-back games, and they'll need another big night from him. It wouldn't surprise me to see him get inserted into the starting lineup. He started the second half down in Iowa. And Patterson and Femi Odekele had, Odekele probably had his best game as a Gopher. So some of these guys are starting to understand a little bit what the Big Ten's about, and that's got to be the hope for Saturday.
On Saturday, Gophers taking on Oregon. I believe our coverage will begin at 2:30. It will. Mike Grimm on the call at 3 right here on the Winona Sports Network. That is Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers. Mike, as always, appreciate the time. We'll talk next week. Good luck on the call Saturday, and hopefully we got some more good things to talk about when you join the show again.
All right. Sounds good. Awesome. Always enjoy it, Jake. Thank you.